Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 14. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Revelation in chapter 14. This is a chapter that is inside of an interlude where we've had the six seals broken, giving way to the seventh seal. And the seventh seal was then broken, which gave us the seven trumpet judgments, of which we've seen six, and then we have this parenthetical insert. This is a time when God pretty much sets the table for us. When you are reading through the book of Revelation and he's not talking about trumpets and seals and bowl judgments, there's a lot of backstory, because the people who will be reading this with a need-to-know disposition, because they're in the tribulation, are going to need a little backstory. If you can imagine, for the first time, the rapture's happened, you've gotten a clue, Grandma said this was going to happen, and there you are, left behind. The first book you're going to go to is probably going to be the book of Revelation. You're going to have nothing to work with, trying to figure out what in the world's being said. Well, he gives backstory, and then, of course, you'll realize just enough to know that you're going to have to go dig a little deeper and find out a little more, because really you cannot understand the book of Revelation without first understanding the other 65 books of the Bible. So much of it is embedded in the book. Young people will be familiar with the idea of video games, where when they would do one level, they would have to find a key to get to the next level. And that's kind of what's going to happen. This thing's going to be unfolding under their feet, and they're going to be looking and watching and reading and looking and watching and reading, and they're going to be trying to figure it out. When I tell you about Israel being bombed this past week and things coming close to the Temple Mount where the Dome of the Rock is seated, and I tell you these things, I'm telling you those are significant realities. The Bible tells us that the temple has to be rebuilt before the Antichrist can actually go in and desecrate it, which we're told is going to happen. People say, well, that's not going to happen. The Dome of the Rock's there. Hey, we got Hamas shooting at the Temple Mount. Okay, they're shooting at the Dome of the Rock right now. They don't know it because they don't have that much control. But wouldn't it be neat if they knocked it out? That would be pretty cool. Then they couldn't blame Israel for knocking it down. Okay, so last time the world came against Israel big time was in 67 with the Six-Day War, and they got Jerusalem back. Okay, so times like these, we should be paying attention to what God's doing. And that's what I'm trying to impress upon us here. If you could see things from a spiritual perspective, it'll thrill your heart in a time when people are despairing. Suicide lines are being flooded by 600% more than they were in the previous year. And that's incredible. People are despairing. They don't know what to think or what to do. And there's a lot of things to be worried about if you don't know Jesus. The title of the message this morning is Angelic Intervention. If you want to go through this chapter in an overview sense, you would find three movements. First, we're going to see witnesses. Second, we're going to see warnings. And thirdly, we're going to see winnowing. And winnowing simply means the idea of a threshing floor where they throw wheat up into the air and let the wind blow and knock away the chaff, and then the grain would come down. So winnowing, and we're going to see that. I'm going to talk about reaping and things of that nature in this chapter. Hopefully, you will be able to absorb what we're going to share with you today. The Bible says in verse 1, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song, before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they were virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." This is, as I say, the first section which deals with witnesses. 144,000 are mentioned here, But if you were reading it for the first time, it might have fallen off the plate in your reading, as those who are in the tribulation might be trying to figure out what's going on. And first time through, you might have missed chapter 7. And I think it's significant, 7 and 14, you can kind of put them together. Because 7 was where we were introduced to 144,000 Jews that were sealed by God at the beginning of the tribulation. We know it's at the beginning because chapter 6 is all about the six seal judgments, and then the parentheses, the interlude, where he gives backstory. And as the six seals are broken, there's a lot of calamity going on in the earth. You have a white rider, you have anarchy on a red horse, and then you have a dark horse with death, you have famine, and you have martyrdoms, and then finally you have a great earthquake. And all of these things lead the people on earth to run to the mountains and say, fall on us, in chapter 6. Then you have the interlude, and the interlude introduces us to some hope. Because as bad as it gets during the tribulation, and it will be bad everywhere, as bad as it gets, there's still an opportunity for people to be saved. When I was coming along in my early days in the Christian world and learning a little bit about this stuff, I was told that if you did not get saved before the rapture, you would not be able to get saved. Well, actually, that was because the people who were writings, the people of that day were referring to, had gone by several decades. And back in the day, they were just trying to figure it out. As we got closer to what was going on in our world, we began to realize, no, that's not quite the way it is. And I think there was also a little bit more of a woodenness to our theology back in the early days. You've heard of the Puritans. Man, everything was very fastidious, and they were very pure, and that's the people who came to this country and founded it. I mean, the Pilgrims and all that. These were people dressed very, you know, plainly, and were very conservative. But as time's gone on, we've found something out. To our detriment, I might say, but we found something out. Grace is large. Grace is awesome. Grace is amazing. And people have gotten to the place in our day where grace has been pushed to its very limit. We are now in what I call the, and what many call the Laodicean part of the church age, where everybody's exploiting everything. They're saying, what's wrong with it, rather than what must I do to really measure up in God's eyes so that I can be best used. We're saying, what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that? We're doing everything we want to do and disregarding God's call on our lives many times. So what I want to suggest to you that is that we see those people in chapter 7 brought before us. We see 144,000 Jewish evangelists who are sealed by God. We realize that there's 144,000 of them, and there's 144,000 here. We also saw back in chapter 7 that these 144,000 were made up of 12,000 Jews from every tribe. Well, why would God be so specific? 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 from the tribe of Judah, and all that. Why? Well, because this is actually, yes, the tribulation, but it's also, and more importantly, the time of Jacob's trouble. And God, in the beginning of the tribulation, is going to seal 12,000 from each tribe. Generally speaking, these tribes are... There's a little nuance is what I'm trying to say. I don't want to go into that right now. But there's like two or three that are switched around for cause. And we talked about that. Go back and look it up. But what we're talking about now is 12,000 from every tribe. And those 12,000 represent Israel as a small microcosm of the greater nation. And they're going to be converted almost immediately, because we see them really be going out and winning. Because at the end of chapter 7, you find multitudes coming out of the Great Tribulation. Because they're out there preaching. And then those people that they're preaching to are getting saved, and those people that are getting saved are preaching, and this is going to be a massive movement on the earth during the time of the tribulation. We've suggested at the time that many people will be lost or left behind after the rapture who were church folks. They weren't truly saved. The Bible talks in the last days about people having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. What you need to realize is that the power of godliness is the gospel. And the power is that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. The Bible says there's going to be a great group of people in the last days who will have a form of godliness but deny the power of God. They're going to be denying the power thereof. And the power is the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power, Paul said, and they don't have it. They have a semblance of religiosity, but they do not have salvation. They know the ABCs. They might even be able to tell you what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are. They might even know about Noah. They might know about David and Goliath. But they really don't know Jesus. And they're churchy, but they're not saved. Born-again believers. And those people are going to get a rude awakening because they will see immediately when the rapture occurs that they've been left behind. And they'll know it because they have enough to know this is serious. I don't know if you look around today, but the world's pretty serious right now. Let's factor in here for a minute the rapture, and the people who are churchianity folks are going to be left behind, and they're going to begin to reassess, and they're going to realize, I need to get my game face on. I've been a fool. I've been a fool. And I've not taken this thing seriously. I've not personalized this thing. They're going to fall to their knees, perhaps, right away. But that does not mean that they're not in the crosshairs of what is about to fall on this earth. If you read chapter 7 at the end, it says these people are going to be scorched, they're going to be hungering, they're going to be thirsting, because they will not be able to buy, sell anything without the blessing of God giving them something off to the side. They're not going to be able to buy or sell anything in the economy of the Antichrist at one point or another. So multitudes are going to get saved. So we say these 144,000. We go back to chapter 7 and remind us that's who these guys are. We didn't get their biography before. We just knew their pedigree. They were from from various tribes of Israel. Israel, time of Jacob's trouble. They're bringing in the gospel to the world. For the first time ever, Israel never got the gospel up past their borders. And many times they would build walls rather than bridges. God always wanted Israel to telegraph the message about Jehovah God, but they didn't. Only a couple of brief moments in the history of Israel did they get something going outside their borders. And it's very, very few. In fact, enough you can name on one hand, and I can go through them, but I will not at this time. Verse 1 says, "And I looked and I saw, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion." Now, it's interesting and significant that the article is there, the Mount Zion. Okay, first of all, we saw back in chapter 10 that a great mighty angel came down on the earth and he put one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. And we said that's the Lord Jesus. He's coming as a mighty angel and he's clothed with the sun. He's got a rainbow about his head. And all the pictures you saw earlier are all around this mighty angel. And we said, well, that's the Lord Jesus because he's coming to take control of the earth. He's got one foot on the land, one foot on the sea. That covers the geography of the world. And then he has in his hand the scroll that we saw back in chapter 5. And we see him taking possession of the earth. Because that's what he's coming to do. Thy kingdom come, right? Thy kingdom. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Thine is the kingdom. We're looking for a kingdom. Jesus is coming to set up a kingdom. Can I admonish you right now? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You're starting to see some of that stuff crumble around you. It's not fun anymore because it's icky because they've ickified it. You like my word? Ickified. I don't know how to spell it. Ask the person next to you. They've ickied it up. Okay, this is the world we're living in. You're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, because all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Did you realize that's what that all is out there? That's what it all is? That's why everybody celebrates fools? We're celebrating fools. You know, kings used to pay fools to perform in their courts before them and make them laugh. We're all wanting to celebrate the fools. But it's gotten more insidious than ever because the church itself is sometimes caught up in the fools. And we forgot focus. Now, the Bible says that there's a lamb. And as I say to you, this great and mighty angel, he came and he presented himself as Israel would recognize him. And we talked about that. And so he's identifying with them, just like with the water turning to blood and fire coming down from heaven and hailstones and things like that. He's telegraphing, hey, Israel, I'm coming. You missed me the first time. Wake up.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.